In Joko's book, Everyday Zen, she has a chapter where she says that our practice and our life should be without hope. That might seem discouraging, but she goes on to say that a life lived with no hope is a peaceful, joyous, compassionate life. Sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? I think some time ago, I related the story of the person who had a reoccurring dream about being chased by a tiger. Every night, the dream would begin with them walking along a path. They hear a noise behind them and turn to see a stalking tiger. They walk faster, and the tiger goes faster. They start to run, and the tiger runs. They run as fast as they can, but the tiger is still gaining. Right before the tiger pounces, they wake up in a terrified sweat and can't get back to sleep. Finally, one day, they make a decision. That night in the dream, instead of trying to run from the tiger, they stop, turn, and open up their arms. The tiger disappears, and they never have the dream again. So is there a tiger chasing you? Is there something hot on your heels that you are trying to avoid or escape? Perhaps it's more like a bunch of annoying house cats than a vicious tiger. The person in the story realized that escaping the tiger was hopeless. So they decide to turn and embrace it. What they discovered was that they and the tiger were not two. What this person was trying to avoid was their self, their own life. And there is no hope in doing that. So they gave up trying to protect the self, and they gained their life. Long ago, a Zen teacher once said that we need to die on the cushion. They weren't implying that we need to sit there until we starve to death. They were saying that we must learn that our practice isn't about us. It's about letting go of the notion that we exist apart from everything else. This is what our practice is. We give up ourself and gain our life. It's a lifelong effort because this little self, which is a functional aspect of our human nature, is very insistent, and it knows what our life should or shouldn't be, and is rarely satisfied with the results of our efforts. It's consistently looking for a fix, a solution, to what will finally satisfy it and protect it from a world that it believes stands against it. In the end, we always come back to this life just as it is. But only in turning to face and embrace our discontent, our fear, and our suffering, will we realize that we and the scary tiger are not separate. We created it by our attachments and aversions. And the tiger's job and the self-centered dream is to help us to see this. Case 5 in the Mumenkan goes like this. Master Kyogen said, "It is like a man up in a tree hanging by his mouth. His hands can grasp no bough. His feet can rest on no limb." Someone appears below and asks the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West. If he does not answer, he fails the questioner and the Dharma. If he does answer, he loses his life. So what would you do in this situation? The case sounds hopeless, doesn't it? Neither option seems like the right one. And when I began working on this case, I thought, how did he get up there in the first place? But I dismissed that thought and instead tried to figure out what I would do. Shrug my shoulders, wave the questioner away, or make some other kind of gesture. But none of these worked in the Sanzen room with Genyo. Eventually, I realized that my first impression was what this case was about. We put ourselves in hopeless situations without any good options by clinging to our desires and our aversions. When we clamp down our teeth on the branch of self, we miss realizing the life that's always right here. The life that sometimes asks questions we can't answer and includes the tigers we can't outrun. But we don't really need an ancient case to help us realize the true nature of our life as it is. It's always right here, moment by moment. We can't miss it. And yet somehow we do, by simply not paying attention. We get stuck on the branch of clinging to self and forget to be exactly who and what we are. From a self-centered point of view, the awakened way is impossible to attain. We can chase enlightenment our whole life, and we will always end up right back where we started. Right here, right now. But through our practice effort, we begin to appreciate that the awakened way is exactly our life as it is. And eventually, we realize that we were never apart from what we seek. There is no separate self that needs to gain anything. We come to see that all of our doubts and frustrations are a dream within a dream, and we are free to be joyous wonder that is always just this. So is our life hopeless? Yes, but only if we try to grasp it and make it into a thing we can control. Is our practice hopeless? Yes. If we believe it will fix our life rather than shine a light on it and give us the opportunity to embrace and be our life exactly as it is and respond skillfully to what is rather than what we wish was or wasn't. But hopeless or not, what is possible for us to make is our practice effort, moment by moment, day by day. It's very simple, but certainly not always easy. We tend to take our attachments for granted. But we don't need to be concerned with how we are doing. Simply be mindful of what we are doing. We notice when our expectations and desires get in the way of our ability to experience our life as it is. And then, over and over, for the rest of our lives, we come back to just this, the awakened way. Thank you.